Today on Chesapeake Shores, we talk about the season 2 finales, relationships, family, everything. Let's do it.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Hello, everyone.
This is so bittersweet.
This song
is playing for maybe the last time because we might switch next season.
Who knows? Welcome back, everybody, to AfterBuzz TV. We're here doing Chesapeake Shores. Season 2, Episode 10, the season finale, Free Fall. Free Fall. I'm your host, Marissa Serafini. You can follow me on Twitter at SerafiniTV. Joining me, I have, as always...
Hey, guys. It's Stefan Lovegrove. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Dr. Lovegrove.
Dr. Lovegrove here. All right. So what are your thoughts about this finale? We had a lot.
So much. My thoughts are it felt like a finale. It was so very dramatic. And I just felt like normally on Chesapeake Shores, it feels a little bit lighter. It feels a little more like family and fun and tradition. And not that we didn't have those things in this episode, but it was very dramatic. It was very heavy at times in a needed way because a lot of things were coming to a conclusion. A lot of things were shifting. And it's definitely a finale.
It's definitely a finale. A lot of things fell through. I don't want to say free fall because that's based on the song. But a lot of relationships fell through in different ways that I didn't really expect. Some I did, some I didn't. And like how
they caught us off guard, though. I mean, we'll talk about where we went wrong in our predictions or our guesses. But they definitely caught us off guard. And I give them props for a finale that was very unpredictable.
It was. I mean, there was a lot of twists and turns. And I applaud the writing and everyone who was part of the creative process there. You got us.
Now, interesting... Apparently there's disagreement. Some of you thought that it was very predictable. We will get into specifics, but
yes,
I dare you to tell me that you thought certain things were going to happen in this episode. Right. There were a lot of surprises.
I can tell you what was predictable and what was not.
But
right. Let's get into it. Jess and David first. Did you expect David to be leaving the inn?
Case in point. No one was expecting that. How would you have predicted that? No, I did not expect him to be leaving. And of all of Jess's emergencies, can we agree this is one?
This is definitely one that, you know, it's warranted for her to worry and go to her sisters for advice. And, you know, how do you hire a new employee? All X, Y, and Z. But the reveal of David's family, was that expected? I mean, we predicted through the last few episodes that he comes from money, and we were right. But was that reveal as big as you thought it was going to be?
Or as satisfying as you thought it was going to be? I don't think it was. I think this is just for me personally. I think it was a little bit underwhelming just because, you know, my guess was politics. I kept saying I want his family to be like a big, maybe just because of the time we live in, I thought it would be very controversial for him to have like a political family.
Mm-hmm.
But regardless of whether or not it was politics, I just think it's a very, I don't know, like... I grew up watching stuff on Disney Channel where they would have the storyline of like, I just want it to be normal. And like, I was hoping it was going to be something more nuanced than just he came from money. I guess my thought is, Marissa, the money thing seemed obvious to me because he was working for like so little pay.
For nothing.
So I thought it was just obvious to all of us at this point. Clearly he's not here for the money and he must come from money. So yeah, I guess I was let us know what you thought because I was expecting a little bit more of a story than that.
Right, and we expected it had to be to do with something with his family compared to the episode where David was like, oh, he used my name. We're like, okay, there's something about his last name, his family name.
And it's the Peck, the Boston Peck thing. It's just, that's not a real life, to my knowledge. That's not a real life family. So us as viewers, we don't know what that means. We just know apparently he owns a bunch of stuff, maybe a billionaire family. We don't know anything more than that.
That apparently it's a wealthy family that has ownership in a lot of things in Boston, which is actually funny because I actually know someone who's part of a millionaire family from Boston.
In Boston? I guess that's the place to be. What are we doing here?
So, but like, I understand the idea of, you know, him not saying where he came from, but again, that doesn't show that he was a bad person. He just wanted to make his own way, and for that, I applaud him. And he did it in, yeah, it was a secretive way, but it wasn't in a malicious way, or it was just something.
Well, and I also don't think he would have stayed there if it wasn't for Jess. Which is what, yeah, as many of you are saying in the chat, which is what makes this whole thing heartbreaking, is clearly it wasn't a great pay situation. And I don't think if there wasn't any chemistry with Jess, I don't think he would have stayed.
Right.
Even if he was trying to forge his own path and do his own thing, I don't think he would have stayed. My third, there were so many sad moments. I was going to say it was my second saddest moment of the episode. It was up there. I'm really sad about Jess and David.
Yeah, I'm sad about it too because I wasn't expecting it to end so quickly in this way. Because, I mean, I thought that we were just going to have the reveal of where he came from, but not the fact that he's actually physically leaving. Which, again, it makes Jess fend for herself. It makes her be more independent because, again, it's another situation that she has to go through on her own.
Well, and did you remember the moment where she said, or David said to her, the inn is going to be okay. And she said, well, I guess that just leaves me. That was such a sad moment. First of all, I am a little bit worried for the inn. I'll just be honest.
She got more out of David than
just
she did out of most
employees.
Just
because she could cook that one thing successfully does not reassure me that the inn is going to be okay. But beyond the inn, it just is sad. I feel like they made so much progress. The truth finally came out. He's so good for her. He's so good for the inn. So
the
anyway.
Inn would be nothing without David.
I know. And let's be real. Jess cannot
do
take over for his responsibilities. And I guess this is the inner entrepreneur in me, since we've identified there's such an entrepreneurial family. How is she going to find in the budget all these things she has to hire now if she's barely paying one person who's like Superman? Right. I do worry for the inn. I worry for the inn and more so for Jess. Agree with you on that, Trisha.
Yep. But again, that's just another thing that Jess is going to have to figure out on her own. I mean, she's already in big debt with the bank. Just
good reminder
starting
that.
This whole business. So it's something she's going to have to figure out. I think she can help her. This could go into prediction territories that the family gets involved. In some way, like the family.
How could they not?
Yeah, the
we
family.
We know the O'Briens.
Picks
they
up
will
the
get
slack,
involved.
Does the contracting? Does all the handiwork that they need? We know Mick and Trace can help, and yeah, she's just going to turn towards the family for the help, and they're going to help her. So I think she's actually going to be fine.
I do think it's a safe prediction that the family will get involved. Maybe David gets to come back. We're already in way predictions territory for another season. Yes, Jordan, I am being optimistic that there is going to be a season 3. I truly cannot imagine why with these ratings they would not.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll get more to that later on. Let's talk about Bree and Simon. Did you expect Bree to call it off of Simon?
Okay, I can't talk right now because I have so many feelings about this episode.
We're all emotional right now.
Well, and this is where my what do I want to happen territory is mixed up with predictions.
What actually happened?
Because she seemed very upset at the end of last episode. And remember, we talked and Kirsten was with us via Skype. And
yes.
We were, by the way, if you any of you missed it and you're loyal viewers of the show, go back and watch. So
fantastic
much insight
episode.
From her.
Yes.
But, we were talking about, can Bree forgive Simon and overlook this?
I thought yes, and that didn't happen.
Because she would just be so happy that for her success and whatever, that she would realize it was a kind gesture. So I did not expect it to be at this extreme. I knew she was going to be upset and she might not get over it right away. I was completely thrown off with this storyline in her head that Simon is another Martin. That is so weird to me.
I mean, but I also, it's first of all, that's unfair to Simon because, in fairness,
I know.
He is a completely different person. But I do, unfortunately, understand the argument. Like, that's what Martin did to me. He made decisions about my career without my knowledge. And, like, so I understand that mentality that Simon kind of did the same thing to her, made decisions about her career on her own without her knowledge. It's like, I get that.
But, okay, but here's my thing. There's a difference between Martin essentially exploiting her work and turning it into something that it wasn't versus Simon saying, actually, what you wrote is so good and so brilliant, and I want to put this in somebody's hands who can really put it out there to the world. I don't know. I just, that seemed out of left field to me because he doesn't remind me of Martin at all.
Yeah.
And go back to England is harsh.
Oh, that was terrible. I was like, no, don't go back to England or wherever it is you come from. I did love that line. It was terrible, the way how she, you know, prefaced the whole conversation. I think it's really unfortunate. But I do understand the fact that that happened to her in one way, one shape and form, that someone made a decision without her knowledge. Someone else did it again, and there was also that particular line, 7 years in Chicago taught me nothing. Like, if I keep, you know, this relationship with you, then 7 years of Chicago with Martin has taught me nothing about... She's protecting herself. I think it was a defense mechanism, and as Chrissy Payne in the live chat says, Brie keeps pushing people away, and I think that's what Brie did. Brie, she got hurt one time by Simon and immediately cut him off.
Well, and I wrote down her quote, we can't get men right, because I think for both...
Oh, I feel your pain, girl.
For both Brie and Jess... This is a pattern where they think they're bad at relationships, so they end it before they can get hurt.
Yep.
And the reason I was so happy about Jess and David is I felt like Jess had gotten past the self-sabotage pattern, right? And she had finally, like, given in to the fact that she had feelings for him. So anyway, that is what makes me sad, is I don't think there's some big inherent problem with the O'Brien girls that they just can't do happy relationships. I think there was a lot of potential in Simon. I still think that in the future, if he doesn't follow her advice and go back to England.
I think Brie was kind of upset at the fact that she doesn't really have control in this relationship. In relationship, there's a lot of things you can't control. But the idea that Simon gave her manuscript to someone else now gave her the career pressure that now she has to actually physically write and finish her book. She's now on a professional deadline is changing the way of how she was writing, her whole style. When she was writing, it was out of passion, and now, because someone else has the manuscript, now what she's writing is because she's meeting a deadline. It's not a passion, it's out of obligation. And that's the difference to her writing.
I get that from a writing perspective, but from a relationship perspective, this was like strike one. And yeah. I just feel for Simon that he didn't even get a second chance. Like, this would have been mess up one, apology number one. And she flaked on him before. It's not like she's been perfect in this relationship. Mm-hmm. So, anyway, I'm heartbroken about both of those.
Oh, yeah, I'm really bothered by it, too. It's like, shoot. I was like, I love Simon. Simon needs to stay.
Lisa said it would be pretty hard for Brie to change her mind about Simon now. Well, and that's why I brought up the whole go back to England thing, is that would be one way to get him out of the series, you know, and close the door on a possibility.
No, don't close the door on Simon.
I don't want to.
No, I'm saying
apparently no. In the books there may be other possibilities for Brie, and so loyal readers of the books, fans of the books, want that to happen. I just know I loved Brie and Simon, and I really hope in general that the O'Brien girls can get over this idea that they can't get men right that keeps them sabotaging things.
Right. I completely agree. All right. Anything else about Brie and Simon before we move on?
I do have one other thing that I remembered just now.
Sure.
Simon's dynamic with the family was so good.
I loved it.
So many people would be overwhelmed or like scared off by having to sit at a table with the O'Briens. And that's why I don't want to see him kicked out of the picture, is I think that he like fits in a humorous way. And I would just love to see Simon more at the O'Brien functions.
I agree. So. I love that family dynamic, because when they were at Sally's and they were all, you know, the siblings were talking to each other, Simon was just there right in the middle of the conversation, completely part of it, all natural. He seems so right during that. And he even knew, like, backstory on Jess's inn and all the work that David's put in and X, Y, and Z. Like, he fits. He's part of that relationship. He's part of that group. And now take him out, shoot. Darn it. Darn it.
Well, and you knew my thoughts on, of all the budding relationships, those were like two of my favorites.
I know.
So, unfortunately, we'll talk about the ones that are not going downhill, but my favorites went downhill in this finale.
Yeah. Talk about one that I've been like, rooting for this whole season so far. Kevin and Sarah. Yes.
At least that one was not a devastation.
No, I loved how this happened. Sarah came back. It was more of a friend zone, but it didn't seem forced. It seemed like, hey, we're doing something. You can help me out here. And it just seemed natural. It's so right. It's just so right. And I'm glad that this one, ironically, all of our relationships that were happening end up breaking off in some shape and form. And this is the one that wasn't happening and is now happening.
Are we jumping to that conclusion? We know there was a kiss. There's still chemistry. And we've all been there where we're claiming that we're just going to be friends with somebody, but really the chemistry hasn't vanished. I've been there. I'll own it for myself. No, and the tent thing is hilarious because I certainly have also been there with the tent pieces.
Oh,
and
yeah.
you set the whole thing up and then you realize,
no, it's terrible.
We did something wrong.
And it's terrible. I mean, I completely digress. Side note, I used to work for American Idol and all I had to do was like set up tents, so many tents, and a lot of them, they're hard. They are difficult.
Harder than they look.
They are more difficult than they look. So I completely understand that struggle of setting up outdoor tents. It's not easy, you guys. And if anyone put together an IKEA furniture,
you know it's not. They don't
easy.
Need to try any IKEA projects. Right. If we're hoping that this relationship makes it, I will advise them away from any IKEA furniture.
Yes. So I understand that struggle, but I did like the natural relationship that came out of this. And I saw it. I was like, I think Sarah will come around, warm up to him.
Well, and it feels very reciprocal now. And that is what I was not liking earlier in the season is it really feels off if one person is clearly more invested or wants it more than the other person. So I feel a lot better about Kevin and Sarah now because they're both at the same place with it.
Yes, I agree. So. And sometimes good relationships take a while. Yeah.
But what about that phone screen of his that we saw at the concert?
Yes. So he gets accepted into Stanford out of 10,000. So good job for him. I think this could cause issues now. Now he has to physically go to another location that takes him away from Chesapeake Shores. Distance causes issues in a relationship. So once you start it and now you add a wedge in it, shoot.
Well,
a lot of things.
A lot of real life issues in these relationships. I actually have, that's getting into predictions territory because that is one of my strongest, this is my prediction. Okay. And so I'll leave it. But I do think it's very interesting that he got the Stanford acceptance after making the paramedic decision. That is so funny to me because isn't that how timing often works in life? That as soon as you like gave up on something you were waiting for and moved on, that's when
then
it happens. So yeah. I'm very interested to see what happens with that.
It's Murphy's Law. But the question is, will he actually go or not?
I told you that's in my predictions territory.
Okay. All right.
And now I'm giving it away by my level of excitement about it, but we'll move on.
I'm just happy Kevin and Sarah are together as of right now. It seems like it's on. I have it in my notes. It's on. All right, Connor.
Well, okay, are we assuming Jess and David are together then? Because he said that he's breaking up with the inn, not her.
With the inn? I mean, we haven't seen David go away yet.
I know. So, and it's hard to imagine.
It is.
She's already a stress ball. when he's there. I don't know how it would be with distance. Anyway, so I guess technically we could have Kevin and Sarah not technically together and Jess and David still technically together, but it's getting messy.
It is getting very messy. All right, moving on. Let's talk about Connor. Connor and he's has a working relationship with his uncle. Now officially accepted the full-time position, so good for him. He did get a job. And in some way I was right, not starting the practice, but working with his uncle in Chesapeake Shores. Good for him. What do you think that this will do to the Mick-Connor dynamic, knowing that he's working for his uncle?
So, can we get into the Mick-Thomas conversation on this one? I feel like they all blend together.
And
there really wasn't a separate Connor storyline.
No.
I actually was rooting for more moments with Connor and Danielle because I thought she was good for him. And that wasn't a thing in the rest of the season. So it was really Connor, Mick, and Thomas kind of convoluted in a little triangle. So in relation to the whole Connor and Mick and Thomas thing, I do not like Thomas after this episode. And that is a change for me.
Really? What is it about it?
Well, so before I was able to respect that he cared about the environment, you know, like we need to care for the planet. I drive an electric car. I'm all about that. Mm-hmm. So I was like, I get it. Like Thomas has different motivations for what he does than Mick and they don't see eye to eye on this. And that was fair. Like two different opinions, brothers fight. I thought that was fair. I thought what he did talking to Mick and then taking it back to Connor was so manipulative.
It was.
Because he made it sound like Connor was the leak, right? Mm-hmm. He made it sound like Connor was ratting stuff out about his dad's deal and then denied it. But then he made it sound like Mick was suspicious inherently of Connor. I don't know. Please, in the live chat and comments and Twitter, please let me know what you thought about this because I really felt like that was the most manipulative. That was at a level I don't even think Mick would stoop to, and that really changed my feelings on Thomas. What do you all think? Have you been team Mick from the start, or is it shifting? Where are you at, Marissa?
I kind of agree with that because I noticed that too, because it seems like Mick is kind of at a terms of agreement or some type of compromise, and he just wants things to be civil, especially with his brother. And then there was moments where we saw Thomas. He's still playing this defensive game towards Mick. He's still trying to protect himself. And now knowing that Mick's son, Connor, works for him, I felt like he kind of came out with, I don't want to say arrogance, but just this cockiness that he's like, hey, now I have your son working for me, your partner drew out, you know, like I'm on the winning end here. Like it felt like he kind of got this boost of confidence that he was on the winning side of this trust.
Right.
Well, it didn't seem like it.
I am proud of my prediction on that because I predicted the tables were going to turn and the finale was going to end with Thomas lording something over Mick because he was going to hear rumors mm-hmm. and whatever. And so, I think that he heard that he had lost the partner. And that gave him a confidence. And that's fine. I'm fine if he has a confidence. I'm fine if he stands for what he believes in. Again, it's family. And I feel like you don't maliciously, like, put a wedge between a father and a son. Mm-hmm. Whether or not you're related to them. You don't put a wedge between people's families. And Jordan said this is what I heard. Yes. Thought he was making it sound like Connor was the leak. Exactly. It sounded like he was trying to make it sound one way, so then Mick would get suspicious, so then he could use it against Mick.
And then Connor was like, I can't believe my dad thought that I was the leak, you know? So, like, he was turning Mick against his own son. So, again, I think it's this defensive game that Thomas has that to make him win. A manipulative game. In a way, because I think he thought for once he was having the upper grounds on this. I mean, now knowing that Mick has now paired up with Douglas, what do you think Douglas will do? Because he asked Mick that one question, you really want to do this for your against your brother. Are you sure about this? And Mick was like, yes, I'm sure. He hesitated, but he ultimately said, yes, I'm sure I still want to do this.
This is hard. I don't have any strong feelings or predictions on where this is going, like this overall storyline. But I think that Douglas is an asset. I don't think Douglas will back out. It seems like Douglas will be good to have in the deal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, this trust problem is still going on. There was a line with Mick and Tom. It's like, trust is dead. They said it twice, like, the trust is dead. When Tom says the trust is dead, he thought about the actual deal. And then Mick said, trust is dead. Like, the trust between brothership and the brotherhood is dead. So there was, like, two different meanings for this particular line. It's like, what is going to happen? It's still very contentious.
Well, and that was a very clever line. Another line that stood out to me with Mick and Thomas was Thomas saying, who I don't like now, but I'm still going to quote, it's not that we can't talk, it's just that we fundamentally disagree. Mm-hmm. And I do feel like when it's so contentious like this, and it really goes down to people's core beliefs about what matters to them, sometimes you do reach a point where how much is further dialogue really going to accomplish? You know, sometimes you just have to own, this is how I feel, this is how the other person feels, and we're not coming at it from the same place.
Right.
And I kind of think that was a situation here. I kind of think that they're not going to agree anytime soon, and they've sat down and talked. Nell got her moment of them sitting down and talking. I don't know if they're going to agree.
See, yeah, and that's the problem. We've seen Mick and Thomas talk so much this whole season, and yet there has been no progression whatsoever.
Which, isn't it almost a little infuriating for you as a viewer? See, Lisa says, I agree. It feels like there's no way to move forward.
Yeah, there's no progression of moving forward.
And Jordan, the question is, can they at this point agree to disagree? That is the question. They keep acting like they're going to make concessions or whatever. I guess what's interesting is,
after 8 episodes, it's not going to happen.
Well, and that's my point, is in this series, things change so fast. Look at what happened to Jess and David. Look at what happened to Bree and Simon. In one episode, brilliant writing, and we couldn't have predicted these twists and turns. So I think the writers really want us to grasp the stubbornness of these two old men.
These guys going at it.
That for 8 episodes, we can't seem to make any progress, when usually things happen fast in the show.
Yeah.
So I don't foresee resolution if we couldn't get there by the finale.
Do you think this is going to be it's going to take a whole nother season to get any type of resolution?
Honestly, I feel like we don't need another season of this storyline. I would be fine but then now Connor's involved. I was going to say I would be fine if Thomas went out of town and left.
Abby was involved. Connor's now involved.
And Douglas is now involved in the deal.
Is involved. Too many people are involved with this. And yet we've added people to this problem, and there's, again, been no progression. And if this carries into season 3, I don't know if viewers are going to like that, if it's going to take another 8 episodes to get anywhere.
Well, and I also don't want this rift, which I consider kind of I know that Mick was a little upset Connor didn't tell him sooner, but Connor still told him, just like Connor still told him when he quit, just like Connor still told him when he needed a job and the plan A didn't work out. I think Connor and Mick's relationship is really not that bad, and I don't like this fake rift that's being created, that they're keeping secrets from one another and whatever, because I don't feel like they genuinely are.
Yeah, they just need to communicate, and we see moments where they're trying to talk to each other, but are they really listening to each other?
Mick and Connor or Mick and Thomas?
Mick and Connor. Which can also translate into Mick and Thomas.
Either one. Have that issue.
But I think also, I said in season 1, and you weren't here yet, Stefan, it was that I feel that Mick and Connor are so alike, that's why they clash. Like, they are too alike in personalities that they're like magnets, you know? That when you put north to north or south to south, they're going to bounce off of each other. And I think that's the problem that they have with each other, because they're too alike, they don't disagree.
And honestly, I think if you leave the Thomas drama out of it, I think Mick could still respect his son for pursuing a path of law that he believes in and is passionate about. Mm-hmm. We could end up there. But if Thomas tries to cause all this drama, it's going to be a pain to get there.
Ew, yeah. It's really unfortunate that this wasn't tied up. This is an 8-episode arc that hasn't arced yet in this season.
And I actually will say we were right on our prediction, because we weren't feeling Were we? No, I wasn't.
I don't think so.
I don't think we were feeling a resolution. That it just seems, you know, sometimes, especially when people get to a certain age and they've, this is like a lifelong belief they've had or a lifelong core value. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I didn't sense that it was going to wrap up, and it did not in the finale at all.
It didn't. Hopefully it wraps up like early in the next season. When we get the next season.
The premiere. Maybe it could be like Trace going to jail where it's a one episode resolution.
Right. Or like we had the whole summer to contemplate, or the winter, because it's the end of the summer now.
Right.
But like we had like maybe a half a year has passed, and that can actually do a lot of good when more time has passed and we actually see like how far we've come along in those in real time.
Before we move on, I do want to say Jordan has a very interesting theory, and you guys know I love your theories. I especially love your theories when Michael Burns is here and has to sit there and read all of our crazy theories as super fans. Right. But Jordan said, I think Connor will see through Thomas very quickly. That would be a way that to wrap great. Up this storyline, is if Connor left and said, I realized he was using me as a pawn to get back at you, then Thomas could give up, move away, Mick could develop the land, and we could move forward. That is a possibility.
That is a possibility also because Abby says it's a good deal. So it seems like the family
And now members, Douglas is part of the deal. Douglas,
so there might be more people on the winning side of Mick's trust that it's actually going to happen. This development will go through. Mick will win, and Thomas is just probably still bitter.
And then Connor could start his own firm, as you predicted earlier.
Yeah, and I'm fine with that too. All right. Cool. All right. Nell and Megan. I love them two together.
I do too.
I felt this was a very realistic situation that Megan was going through. Public speaking is not easy, you guys. I mean, we do it in a way. We speak to everybody in a long way. But I can understand that fear of getting up in front of someone, not knowing what to say, how to say it. I like seeing this vulnerability of Megan.
I do too. And you could tell that she wanted to say something really meaningful, and it had to come out right. Because mm-hmm. it was one of those things of like, it could sound awkward or canned or cheesy if it didn't quite come out right. You know what I mean? And she kept having these attempts where it just sounded lackluster or like less than ideal. So.
And the family advice wasn't the greatest.
Well,
Nell's was, but everybody else.
I actually enjoyed seeing Nell lost in thought about something, because that's so rare for Nell to be having a moment like that. It's rare and occasional that we get Nell having those moments.
Yeah, she's always in the moments and helping everyone when and where they're needed.
Well, and Nell is very present. Like so many of the O'Briens, they have they're busy, they have all these things going on, so they're distracted. Nell has the wisdom of like really being present and living in the moment. So for Nell to get distracted, you know, clearly something is on her heart, and it was. And can I tell you, Marissa, I was so curious about that picture. From the minute that we knew Nell was hiding something, I was like, this better get resolved. So help me God if this doesn't get told to us in this episode. I need to know.
Right. Did you expect the picture to be Dylan O'Malley? I knew it.
I mean, that was my theory, but like, I wanted to know for sure. I wanted to have it in this episode.
I just knew it based on the 1 second that she hesitated. She's like, no, I don't know it. And I'm like, oh yeah, you do. That's totally Dylan from season 1, who we still didn't get a resolution of who this guy, mysterious guy was. She went to Ireland, probably to find him. And then she came back and we had no news of what happened in Ireland. So, what no news of Dylan that she so-called went to go
right.
quote, unquote,
it was
for.
It was a loose thread, but we did have him in the show, right?
It's only been mentioned. We saw the ring in season 1.
No, that's what I mean. There's no actor, but he has been mentioned.
Yes, he's been mentioned.
Because Lisa's saying Dylan O'Malley is a character in the book, but I'm saying we know the name from the show, for
but
those of us just
show.
Watching the series. Yeah.
In the show. But this is also another character storyline that's been going from season 1 that still hasn't been fully resolved yet.
That would
either.
Be a wonderful season 3 storyline.
I did like the theme of the biggest regrets, and it seems like Nell's biggest regret was not telling Dylan O'Malley how she really felt, because she was imparting her wisdom onto Megan's, like, say what you feel and say it to the people who you love. And she, because she obviously didn't take her own advice and told Dylan when she was younger.
And that that pain of regret is so hard.
It is.
It's so, honestly, as much as rejection is no fun, it's better, I feel like, to get rejected than to wonder. And, mm-hmm. and it's sobering to sit there and watch at Nell's age that this is still a regret of her life that she didn't tell somebody how she felt when she had the chance. I thought that was really thought-provoking.
I thought so, too. And I like that even Nell had relationship issues. It's kind of comforting knowing, like, the most wisest people in your family, like, still comes from, you know, pain themselves, and they've gone through it, too.
But also take her wisdom and don't make the mistake.
Exactly.
Like, yes, she had her issues, but she's there to tell the younger generations.
Learn.
Guys, tell people how you feel. Don't make the mistake that I made.
Wisdom is learning from other people's mistakes.
There's your quote for the day, brought to you by Marissa Serafini.
Because it is. I mean, when you learn from yourself and your own mistakes, you know, that's knowledge. But wisdom is learning from other people's mistakes.
So you don't have to make them yourself.
You don't have to make them yourself. Exactly. I like this. I hope we get more of Dylan O'Malley. Maybe we'll get more concrete evidence of who he was and how he affected Nell's life when they were younger. Did she have a love triangle with Dylan and her husband that passed away, the father of Mick? Who knows?
I want more backstory. And our live chat is going crazy with actor suggestions for who could play Dylan O'Malley.
Ooh.
But yes, I definitely want backstory. I would love for this story to unfold. And I love Nell. I'm fascinated by Nell anyway, so I want to know it all.
Yeah, I liked how Megan did get the help that she needed, and she stood up there, she introduced the crowd, and she seemed like totally fine. I was like, Barbara having issues with public speaking, I find that very ironic.
It is a little ironic, but acting is still different than speaking.
It is. But I did like the, it was a moment, and it showed like just how ingrained Megan now is and how important she is to Chesapeake Shores, putting on a fair, like, she's putting her roots down. She now is a big finding, or like a big part of the community.
Well, and it shows how far we've come in this season that, like, Megan had her own storyline, and it wasn't in relation to the specific pain of one of the siblings, mm-hmm. you know?
Right.
Megan was a new adventure for her, that this job position has been. And yeah, I thought, of all endings, I thought a very satisfying ending for Megan.
Yes.
For this season.
Especially this season. I feel like the siblings are, and the children, who are the same people, I feel that they're in a better place with Megan. I still, not everything is fully resolved, but all of them are in a better place with Megan at the end of
than
this
where
season.
We started. It's all growth, yeah.
Yes.
Absolutely.
There's progression there, so kudos to that. All right, let's get to the meat and potatoes. Abby and Trace. Ooh, how do we even talk about this? Well, let's talk about Trace and the band. That's a good starting place to ease in. Yes. What are your thoughts on John Rawl? He's just causing issues. Get him out. Get him out.
You know what? I'm so sorry, Marissa, but I'm going to disagree with you on that, because only in this sense.
Okay.
I think it's fair for John to want to get paid. Because something that we've joked about is, like, there is this thing in the O'Brien's universe where, like, they don't work for a while and there's no talk of money or concern of money in Chesapeake Shores. In real life, it's fair for him to be like, this music is great. I love being in the band. I love playing with you guys. But we need to get paid somehow, Trace.
I understand that argument, but it was immediately followed up with a very, very insensitive comment. Like, I don't see Trace making any sacrifices. He's still, we're in his club, we're in Chesapeake Shores. I was like, are you kidding me? He's the one who fought for you. He's the one who paid for your rehabilitation. He's the one who fought for this band to get their own creative rights. He's the one who created this whole club so you guys can perform for free and practice for free. He's the one who's been doing everything. He's the one who started all this and kept it together, and you're saying he's not making sacrifices? Are you kidding me?
But don't you think that was the core issue of this episode for Trace coming to a head, which is the only reason they're in Chesapeake Shores is for Abby. And yes, that was a very ungrateful and bad tone way of saying it.
Yeah,
but what was getting pushed to the surface is what Mark eventually called him out on of the only reason you are not taking me up on this is mm-hmm. a girl. It has nothing yeah. to do with the deal itself.
Afraid of leaving something behind or someone. Can't
which
have it all.
By the way, did you please tell me you saw Kirsten's tweet about Mark Hall, and did anyone notice that name?
Oh, no, I missed it. Sorry.
Think about the name Mark Hall. We're gonna have a great live on air moment right now. Did you notice anything about that name?
No.
It's Hallmark backwards.
Oh, interesting.
I just smiled so much when I saw Kirsten tweet well, that, and I was like, I have to see if Marissa knew that. I have to see if you okay. guys at home, Chessies, knew that.
It's not yes. backwards. It's more inverted, but yeah,
thank
totally.
You for that word. Yes, Mark Hall on Hallmark. Anyway, I'm glad Mark called him out.
That's very witty. I like it.
And I disagree with Mark's thought that you can't have it all, because I am like a glass half full person. I like to see the positive, and I like to believe you could find a partner that works with your life. But somebody needed to call Trace out on it, because he wasn't even being honest with himself about mm-hmm. his real reluctance with the deal.
Yeah, and I'm glad Mark that actually did bring that to the surface. Like, yeah, the only reason why, like, you have everything that you want right in front of you. There's something else that's holding you back.
And this is incredible.
No.
I never expected they would, like, obviously, it's not real country singers' names. It's fictitious, right?
Right?
But in my mind, this is like a Kenny Chesney or a Carrie Underwood tour in right. 30,000-person arenas. That and they're flying first class, and they have a team and a crew doing all the gear for them. Right. Like, that is crazy to pass up and pretend you just don't think it's a good deal. Especially
yeah.
when they broke contract and Mark made accommodations for them.
Mm-hmm.
So honestly, talk about John being a little ungrateful. I get that Trace was conflicted, but, like, I do think Mark Hall, the inverted Hallmark man himself, I do think he gave them a really good deal in the end.
Yeah, I think so, too. And I'm surprised that Mark came back and kind of had, I don't want to say redemption, but he's not as bad as a guy as we thought, or, like, a character.
We don't dislike him as much
right.
as we did
we
earlier in
the
season.
Like, the fact that he was willing to give up some things just to make it work, and he was a compromising man, it's like, that's just good business, and that's being a good businessman. There's a reason why he is successful in the music business, and we see it. And the fact that he seems like a solid work person to work for, he laid everything out on the table.
That is one of many examples that we can look in the finale and see this came a long way.
Yeah.
From when he was saying, Trace, I only want you as a solo act, to giving the entire band with, I mean, think about from the beginning of the season with John back in it, the entire band, opening act, arena tour worldwide. I mm-hmm. mean, that was an arc of change.
A chance. He gave the whole band a chance, and it looks like they're gonna go. Abby is not too thrilled with this. Okay, here's my question. Did you expect Abby to let go of Trace?
Yes.
Yes, totally.
Yes. And I said, totally. I just had a feeling that the trailer was not lying to us about Trace going, what are you doing? I love you. I called that moment was not actually deceitful, but that Abby was going to end it.
Right. And I called from episode one that they were going to end up separated at the end of the season. I was right.
I honestly, there was a lot of people calling each other out in this episode that really needed to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And thank God for that porch swing talk where Abby was like, oh, Trace isn't going to do it, and was so happy about it. And
right.
they said, whoa.
Even the
whoa.
Girls were like, no,
honey.
Red flags.
Yes. Like, he's, and it's just accurate. He was giving up everything for you. Mm-hmm. I actually wrote down, because I love what Nell said, every relationship has to have balance. She
yeah.
said it's like a
cosmic scale.
And if you don't respect, and you've got to respect each other equally. Mm-hmm. And
or one is going to disappear. Yep. And that happened. And I like the fact that Abby had that moment of realization, so like, hey, I had my chance and opportunity to go chase my mm-hmm. dreams to be happy. He should have the same.
Well, and
that takes, I mean, to take the higher road in that sense. I applaud her.
So we both think that she, I mean, I definitely do think that she did the right thing.
Yeah, I think she did.
And she wasn't going to.
No.
Which is scary. She really wasn't even conflicted. Yeah, and everybody is agreeing in the chat. She did need to be called out. Thank God, because it does kind of make me question things of how could she be in that relationship and not aware of how much Trace was giving up for her.
Yeah. But
Abby and I love Megan Ori, but there were moments where I was like, honestly, Abby has crossed the line of selfishness more than Trace right now.
That's what I thought. I was like, ooh, Abby, you're being very selfish in this episode. But I did like that.
But we love Abby, and we love Tabby, as they call it. But Trabby.
She had that moment of self-realization, and she actually did the right thing. Yeah, we're not happy about it. Yeah, we don't want Trace and Abby to break up. But the way she did it was for the right reasons.
And I will say this. I actually do agree, not to get overly philosophical, but I agree with her philosophy that if we're meant to be, this isn't the end.
Yes.
And
also the same philosophy is like, if you really love someone, let them go and then they'll come back to you.
Right. Well, and just love is not an excuse to not go after your dreams. Ideally, obviously we want and we think Abby and Trace will get back together. Ideally, you hope that there's a way to work it out, but you never turn your back on your dreams. Yeah. That's for sure. So we'll see. That's my philosophy.
It's the best, unfortunately, it's the best opportunity for the band and for Trace.
And we would be so excited for it if it wasn't for Abby being so caught up in it. Mm-hmm. We would be thrilled that Trace had this because that's incredible.
Yeah, because we even saw in season one, he wanted to have nothing to do with the band. And now it's all band, let's do it.
That has changed so much.
Completely. Mm-hmm. Talk about a whole two-season progression. So, I mean, hopefully we'll see a lot of the touring or some type of the effects of the touring aspect on the band if they're actually successful or not, or if if John Rohl is as reckless as we think it is and the whole band just derails.
Oh no.
We don't know.
I don't want that to happen. We'll see.
I'm just throwing things out there. Who knows? It could be a possibility.
Marissa's just trying to inspire the writers with chaotic possibilities.
Maybe. Well, it's more so like, how would Trace come back to Abby if the band wasn't there?
Finish the tour.
But would the band still be done? Or would they still continue?
Or would they have to go back
in
studio
and just going back and forth?
Isn't it kind of sad, though, that he put all this stuff into the club? I mean, yes, from a business perspective, it's cool that the club can now run without him, as he said in this episode. Mm-hmm. But isn't it kind of sad that he put all this work into the club only to now be leaving for this huge world tour? Like, oh, sorry for the bridge.
I mean, it happens, but that's also why you put roots down, because it's something you can always go back to.
Somebody said, I still think he needs to kick John to the curb regardless. That's Teresa. Same. And Jordan agreeing.
Same. I agree.
But I don't think that affects the band because Lee was the one that was the, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Lee was the one that was, is she or is she not a part of this? Just knowing instruments and musically and whatever, they could get someone to play John's parts.
Oh, totally.
That's not
a, I mean,
sorry,
he's a good bassist, but what else does he contribute other than a headache?
Harsh, Marissa.
I mean, just being true. All right. Anything else about this episode? Unfortunately, they have broken up. But I don't think it's going to last long, though.
Only last comment about this episode specifically is I did think it came to such an epic conclusion. And as many times as we've heard the song Free Fall, it was never more fitting than for that montage. Gosh. And it really did, besides that they were broken up, it really did make me emotional to go back to the empty warehouse with the lights and the, just the montage of all the moments they've been through. It was a perfect finale ending.
It was. I mean, pull out our heartstrings. Yes, we felt it.
This is the heart of TV.
It is. All right. Let's get to a little bit of news and gossip, shall we? Boom. All right. So.
There it is.
Okay. So Amelia Earlerup appeared on Home and Family, which is, you know, one of our favorite places. And she talked about, moving when she was younger. Her dad was, like her dad's career would cause them to always travel a lot when she was younger. And so that kind of like translated into her life when she got older and when she made the decision to go into, you know, the acting and the industry. She had that mentality of just like, hey, I can do this and go off on my own. And she talked about it. It was a nice appearance. Go check it out on Hallmark Channel if you missed it. And they also talked about the Ford Warriors in Pink and how they...
Which I love that being a part of the episode, yeah.
Yeah, it was great. And it was also in this episode, too. They had, from 1993, they've garnered over $133 million towards the breast cancer research. So good for
crazy.
Ford. Yeah, go to FordCares.com. Ford is great. My current car is a Ford. So they are an amazing, amazing company. And what they're doing is just amazing work for breast cancer awareness and research. So... good for them. And Amelia also has a new Christmas movie called
yes!
Secretly Santa coming out November 22nd of 2017. So check that out. Really excited. And our other favorite person, Barbara Niven, also has a Christmas movie coming out. She just
love
wrapped
her.
Up. Really excited for that. And it's called Christmas
Oh, yes, her
Evergreen.
Photo from the
yes.
set.
She posted a picture from set on Instagram, her Christmas movies, Christmas in Evergreen. So go check that out when it comes out. I'm really excited for all the Christmas movies. And you guys, I have a very special announcement. I teased it a couple times throughout this season, but this will not be the end of the Hallmark discussion. I will be headlining a new show here at AfterBuzz TV called Happy Hallmarkies. It's a fun title.
Is there applause?
Sure.
I'm applauding. I'm excited, and I need applause for Marissa's new show.
This is the reveal of my new show, Happy Hallmarkies. I'm starting a new show that's all Hallmark-centric topics. We'll talk about like the news that happens on a weekly basis from Hallmark. We'll be covering the Christmas movies when they come out. Yeah, I'm going to be reviewing the movies, you guys. It's going to be fun.
And look at the beautiful logo. Did you all see the beautiful logo?
Thank you.
Jordan is cheering.
Yay,
I'm cheering too. Applause from Lori. Applause from Lisa.
Yes, the Happy Hallmarkies. This is my new show. I'm really excited to talk all about the Christmas movies. There's so much content for Hallmark that's coming out. It's like a free-for-all. I could talk about the movies. I'm working on getting special guests from the shows. From the movies, it's going to be great. I'll talk about, like, book series, and I'll talk about the old content that's been on Hallmark, like, old series.
Hallmark drama, came out this month, we need to figure out.
There's so much content from Hallmark that I can just cover, and it'll be a fun show all around. So it's also airing Mondays at 5 p.m. So this show is ending, but my new show is starting. So I'm not going anywhere,
you guys. The heart of TV continues.
And you'll see James's face. You'll see yours. Everyone knows Stefan. You guys know James Lott Jr., my other co-host for my other Hallmark show. It's going to be fun. It's going to be a great show, and I'm really looking forward to it. Because all they do is watch Hallmark, you guys. Hallmark's
well,
great.
And can I just say, I am so excited that there is finally an AfterBuzz place for Countdown to Christmas discussion.
I know.
Because I watch it every year like a madman.
So
and
what?
Never until I met Marissa did I have a place to dish on the Countdown to Christmas movies. So I could not be more thrilled.
If you guys knew how much I fought for just a platform to talk about the Christmas movies, you guys, I've had like three meetings about it. I was like, I have to talk about these movies in some shape or form. This is it. I'm going to be talking about the Christmas movies and everything Hallmark. It's going to be fun. Who's excited? I'm excited. All right.
I'm excited.
Yes, our engineer is excited.
Anthony, our engineer and producer, he's going to be producing our show.
Woo-hoo.
So it's going to be fun.
Looking forward to it.
Yes, very excited.
I'm comforted that I'm not the only one who still can't figure out Hallmark drama.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly, Laura. There's so much content. It's overwhelming. I even told Phil, I was like, I don't know even where to start. It's going to be fun. We're going to talk everything. Men Calls the Heart, Good Witch, this show, everything. It's going to be fun. I'm so excited. All right. I've said that a million times. Let's get out of here. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in all season long. Thank you for all of our guests, Barbara, Kirsten.
Thank you.
Michael. We had amazing guests this season, amazing discussions and things to talk about this whole season. In the meantime, where can everyone keep following you?
Yes. Please follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Dr. Lovegrove, DrLoveGrove. And please tweet me as you watch Countdown to Christmas, starting in less than a month.
I know. I know. You can follow me everywhere at Serafini TV. Follow this show. Follow all of our Hallmark shows. Follow my new show, Happy Hallmarkies, still at the same time, Mondays at 5 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, 8 p.m. Eastern. I'm not going anywhere. I've trained everyone to watch at this time slot. So, yep.
This is the time.
And this is an all-year-long show. We don't have to wait till like the next season of whatever new show. This is an all-year thing, so it's going to be fun. All right. Thanks, everyone, for tuning in. And thank you for an amazing season of Chesapeake Shores.
Thank you for being here, you guys. I feel the love. Look at the live chat. So many people. We love you all. We love you, Chessies.
We love you all. Thank you, Chessies. We'll see you next time.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later!
The views expressed herein are those of the host only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.